And one can look for his true self-interest in full knowledge. In this verse, the word Dalias is original, and it indicates a spiritual master who is compared to the sacred kingdom of 6,000 gold. From the spiritual master, transcendental knowledge, like fire, is spread to the disciple, just as friction between two sticks of firewood produces fire. Similarly, bona fide contact between the spiritual master, who is a representative of Krishna, and a sincere disciple, produces the fire of knowledge. When the disciple takes shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master, he automatically acquires perfect knowledge of his original spiritual form. O Jyotirlingasya Sananjanasvakaya Swakti Vrsadhyama Satyamayashti Sivyamaha Panchakalpa Tudushta Dukasi Tudayana Shatisityamantaya Vrhasya Vrhasya Jai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srinivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Shivaya Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we will continue with the chapter, the nature of fruitive activity. And of course we understand that we can only perform activities in this very special place of the material world on the earth planet, but we understand when we go lower lower species of life. We're really suffering the consequences of our previous activities. And then we're in the heavenly planets, we're reaping the benefits of our past activities. So you can actually accumulate a lot of reactions from this planet that we're in. But because the material world is made up mainly of the mode of ignorance which covers the living entity, due to the false ego, which is false identification with matter, We further glide down and down with the different species of life, and it becomes difficult for us to actually come out because it's just steeped in ignorance. There's no knowledge, there's no light. So in this chapter, the specific mentioning now of the spiritual master, and previously we've been speaking about how by gaining knowledge one can actually understand what the aim of life is. So the first aphorism in the Vedic text is a part of Brahma Jijasa. That means now that you've come to the platform of a human birth, we have to inquire about Brahma and about the absolute truth. So that is knowledge. And then coupled with that, we have to receive that knowledge through the bona fide chain of parampara. And Srila Prabhupada in the book mentions specifically that the spiritual master has to be bona fide. So it's not just we can go to any guru and receive instructions and enlightenment, but we have to come from a chain of disciplic succession, stemming from Krishna himself, and in that way becomes bona fide. So here is the relationship, the sambandha between the spiritual master and the disciple. And we understand that the spiritual master is Visharada. This will be explained in the next text, that the spiritual master is very expert in giving instruction to the disciple and to the general mass of people. And similarly, the disciple also has to be expert in hearing and carrying out the instruction of the spiritual master. So in both cases, this relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple is there. And it's strengthened more by this knowledge that the spiritual master is bringing forth to the disciple. And then one may ask, you know, why should we be given instructions? If you go out on the streets and you ask people, you know, to take a book, even a small book, you know, on the way to Krishna or, you know, anything, they'll tell you that they're fine, you know, they're okay, they know a bit of something. They don't need to be given some knowledge to enlighten them about life. They know what life is about. But actually they don't know, because they're living in a bubble of illusion. spiritual master, in the translation, mentions how he gives instruction to dispel the ignorance that were in us conditioned souls. And this ignorance, you know, it starts from a subtle level, and we understand the different sinful activities, how they start in the seed form and then they fructify. So it all starts on a subtle level, and the spiritual master, by giving this knowledge, which is like fire that will burn away this ignorance, that will burn away the false ego, the spiritual master gives this knowledge, and in that way we're removed from this spell of ignorance, this veil of ignorance that is covering our entire existence. So we understand that in this material world, we're internally and externally trying to enjoy to varying degrees. And although for devotees sometimes it's not so much on a gross level, we can understand that if you're following the regulated principles, and we're not performing any violence, we're not going out there and slaughtering animals and so many things, but we have our subtle enemies, our minds, which torments us all the time. And the mind sometimes disguises itself as being a best friend or being very much looking out for our self-interest, which is also being spoken about here. But the mind wants to gratify itself in a subtle way. And if we don't control the mind, you know, from thinking and feeling, we'll be performing these sinful activities. They will fructify and they'll become manifested like that. So the spiritual master's main aim is to give instructions by which we can actually remove this ignorance that hides our real identity. And why is it specifically that only the spiritual master can do this is because he himself is freed from this this concept of life, of thinking that I am the body and I'm the enjoyer, because he's understanding his real position in relation to Krishna. So he's understanding what his eternal relationship is with Krishna, and in that way, because he has fully understood and practiced out his self-interest, then he's extending it to everyone else. So he understands that each and every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. So an impersonalist understanding, they would think, you know, acting for our own self-interest is all about me, and I'm going to perfect it on my own strength. But in Bhagavad service, we understand that our real self-interest is given to us through Shastra, and we follow a specific process that cleanses our heart and consciousness. And then when we properly help ourselves, we can extend our arm and help others. So by actually looking out for our own self-interest, we're actually becoming selfless, because we go out and preach and help others know about their identity, know about their relationship with Krishna, and how the living, although it's still in a conditioned state, the living entity can contact pure transcendental knowledge and elevate himself. So this mode of ignorance, which is very much spoken about, and of course the root of that being the ahankar, the false ego, thinking that we're the enjoyers and we're the lord of all that we feel, we're the proprietors, is very degrading. And because material nature is very crude, and material nature, she won't be so soft, she will slap you around a bit and torment you and really make you miserable. You know, it's not a happy place, but some people want to be happy in the material world. But factually speaking, some of us have experienced how this place is not so nice, and some, you know, there's a lot of bad things that may happen. So some people just want to live in this ignorance. They don't want to hear about anything about God. They're not theists. There's a lot of atheists, and they want to believe in science, which is material science, of course, which is based on the four defects that we have. You know, of course, they're not believing in that. Just the term science, they think by being a scientist, you know, you're such a great personality. But even the scientists themselves can't understand how to free ourselves from repeated birth and death. And in the next few purports, we'll explain how even Lord Brahma himself, you know, is bewildered and is actually fearful of death. Whereas some people in the material world, they don't know what death is about, and they came not to be fearful and to be all-knowing. But if the secondary creator, Lord Brahma, whose body is made of intelligence himself, is afraid of death, then what to speak of the very infinitesimal part and parcel of Krishna, a tiny jiva. And this is where you see, you know, the pride and envy and arrogance, it doesn't just come out when people think that they're great and they want wealth and they walk around with a huge chest, you know, like a frog, and they're so proud. But, you know, pride, envy, they come out in a way that people think that, yes, I know everything and I'm qualified to give myself direction in life. You know, that's pride, to think that you actually know when you don't. That's arrogance, to think that I'm qualified to, you know, take myself out of this drowning position in the material world. That is pride. People think that they actually have qualifications to just take themselves out without the mercy of the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. But it's not possible. We know that in bhakti yoga and devotional service, we are carried by the spiritual master's mercy and by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And it's actually very reassuring, well, for myself, it's very reassuring, because then knowing what my defects are, knowing where my faults are, by myself I know that I can't really do much. And I'm solely dependent on, you know, the mercy of the devotees of the spiritual master. But in the mature world, of course, it's the other way around. Everyone is dependent on themselves because they're really great and they have all the answers. But that is ignorance. Having no knowledge means ignorance, and people think that ignorance is bliss, therefore they continue. And you see that they actually go mad. And one of the characteristics in the Gita describes, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam nature, how madness is actually, you know, one of the traits of the mode of ignorance. But people just go mad. And for me, when you observe, when you read Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, then you go out there and you observe just how the material modes of nature are working, you actually see that people are actually just mad and chasing up after, you know, illusory activities. People are mad to think that day in, day out, you know, for 20 years I will enjoy my senses like anything. Although the next day I know that it is very horrid and it's very awful and it's very painful. But still they continue. So this is madness. You have to be in a very demented and mad state to actually think that you can enjoy like anything, all your senses, and still be alright at the end of the day. That's why we see that they have so much rise in mental diseases and a lack of relationships, because people are just mad. And not mad in the sense that they go around like banging their heads on the walls and like doing all funny things. But in here, you know, their mind and their consciousness is not functioning like a proper human being should function. And a proper human being should be taking guidance from the Vedas. If we're not living according to the Vedic way of life, we're not living according to the injunctions that are given to us in the Gita and the Bhagavatam, then, you know, we're no better than two-legged animals. That's just the true fact of it. Because we'll be doing just the same thing. But people, at the same time, they like being in that ignorance. That's why to get them out, it takes a very, like, some special mercy for someone to actually just get out from deep ignorance. And you see different examples when some devotees come to the temple, they were in very ignorant conditions. Like, I know some people who, some friends of mine who would only come out during the night, like during the day they're just in and they just sleep. And then they'd wake up and then just drink coffee and smoke and eat meat. And then grow out. As soon as the sun comes, actually, you know, they get very frightened and very irritable. So they go back in the house and sleep some more. But at the same time, by some mercy, when they get into contact with Srila Prabhupada's books and Mahaprasadam, there's a change in the heart. There's a very huge change in the heart. So this ignorance that the spiritual master comes to slay is very dangerous. This ignorant state is very dangerous because one becomes lazy, one doesn't want to inquire about anything, one has no goals in life, one just carries on, you know, with the waves of life. You know, okay, this is the next thing, this is what's happening, I'm just going to go along and just do it. Because, you know, it's life, what to do, I'll just carry on. So people get swept away by these modes of ignorance, of course, of passion, like that. And so, with the mature modes of nature, even if one keeps himself in the mode of goodness, but still you cannot get out of the cycle of birth and death when you're in the mode of goodness. So that means that's still governed by material energy. That means you still have to come back and take birth again. That's why, you know, Brahma is afraid, because he, you know, he doesn't want to die, but he's stuck in the mode. In the purport Prabhupada described how even Lord Brahma wants to speak of us. You know, doesn't know what the death experience is like. So he gets a little afraid. And that's because we're identifying with the mode of mature nature. So the only person that can actually, as the Prabhupada is saying, who can bring about that fire that will destroy ignorance and that will destroy our demented or our concocted idea of what reality is the knowledge that the bona fide spiritual master is bringing. So this knowledge, of course, is coming from Krishna himself. Because the spiritual master is sent by Krishna when he sees that living entity is ready to practice devotional service. So only the bona fide spiritual master is capable of demonstrating that pure knowledge of the self. Because he's come to that point of realization as well. So we've spoken about, you know, this dormant knowledge that we have in the heart, but because of the modes of ritual nature, it becomes covered. And when the spiritual master comes, he brings forth that knowledge, and because he's expert, he's Visharada, he's expert, he gives us those instructions. But at the same time, we also have to be expert in hearing the instructions and carrying out the instructions. And in that way, that yoga, that relationship between spiritual master and disciple produces pure knowledge. And then we get out of the modes of mature nature and we get situated in transcendental knowledge. So from then onwards, we won't suffer so much from the ignorant position of life, which will mean repeated birth and death in the lower species of life as well. So why would Krishna speak into Arjuna? And if we speak to different people, you know, we haven't come into contact with Krishna consciousness, why would we tell them that, you know, an ignorant life or living in the mode of ignorance is dangerous? What would we say to such a person who is thinking that, you know, this is the way to go? Mahatma Prabhu, what would you say? How would you preach to such a person in a way that he'll understand?
Would you like to tell us, Mataji, how the ignorance is pulling the and living in the two potencies. One is the covering potency.
Yeah.
And one is, you want to tell us?
Exactly. So the covering potency is that we perform different activities and then we do go through the suffering, whether it's manifested or unmanifested. Like we have aparadha karma and aparadha karma. So aparadha karma, you know, it's not manifested. You know, we can go through like some slight emotional or mental changes. And then karma, we see, you know, this human form that we have, this is a result of our previous sinful activities. So we perform different activities throughout our life, and then, you know, on a day-to-day basis, we forget how, sometimes how unhappy it is just trying to live a normal life, because you have to work hard like a donkey for just a miserly wage. You know, being away from the family, not being able to practice any spiritual life because you're steeped in the mood. And before you know it, you just become covered, like there's a cloud, there's a fog in your consciousness in front of you. So you're completely covered, and whatever tries to come in just bounces off. Because gradually the mood, they just infiltrate from the subtle body, and then it comes out through your actions. So you won't want to wake up early anymore. You won't want to give in charity anymore. You won't want to live a very clean life or be a religious person. And then gradually you just pull further and further down. And you try and get up and you can't because you can't see anything. So that's how dangerous this false ego is. Like with the false ego, we identify with the modes of material nature. We identify with this body, with the family, with the nation, with our country. We identify with all these things. And the main, you know, the binding knot is that I am, you know, like different philosophers say, you know, proof of the soul is this I am, you know, I think, therefore I am, you know, these French philosophers. So we think we're something that we're not. And because of that, we expand this in different fields through our family, through our work, through the community, through the nation, slowly, you know, from the earth planet. So unless you actually cut out this ahankar, this false identification with something that is illusory, with something that is temporary, then you can not actually, you know, avoid this covering potency of Maya. Because when you're in that position, you know, the ahankar, it has no mercy. You know, the energy is so intense. When you have exchanges with people out there who are not practicing spiritual life, in general, you are dealing with the mood. Like the mood is just, if you go into the city, it's just everywhere. And then when you interact with people individually, you're dealing with their energy at the same time. So you're fighting the general mood, and then you're fighting with the mode within that person. So it's intense, it's hectic. So when you come to get knowledge about the self and what the real self is, you know, you equip yourself with certain things that will keep you strong. That's why the only process that can actually destroy this avidya, this ignorance and this ahankar is by practicing devotional service. And that's what Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita and Srila Prabhupada stress so much, that only by the practice of devotional service can this ahankar be removed, this subtle body, this false ego. Only by the process of devotional service can it be removed. You can practice other, you know, Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, atonement, and that will temporarily remove all sinful activities, but it will not burn off the seed of where everything is sprouting from. Only devotional service can devour that and uproot all the weeds, everything, all the roots. So it's very dangerous to function under this false ego, because you're functioning under something that you're not. And it's detrimental not only to yourself but to those around you, because then you start polluting others. Like that. So you understand, in the nature of devotion, this point of ignorance is touched when we speak about pure devotional service and the six characteristics. And that the first point our devotional service does is relief from material suffering, kshatriya. So devotional service starts off by removing the ignorance, the sin and the material desires, both unmanifest and manifested sinful activities. Devotional service just wipes it all out. So although we may act in a specific way now and be very charitable and, you know, do different rituals and practices, you know, later on in the future we might suffer from some other, you know, the unmanifested sinful activity we need to crucify in the future. And then what are we going to do about that? That we can do all these things atone once a week, go to a church, and then Monday to Saturday you commit so much, you know, sense gratification, you know, sexual indulgence, illicit activities, gambling, drugs, so many things. And then although you're not suffering the reactions right there, they're still in the subconscious and they're not manifested. And then in the future, these sinful activities or proclivities are going to manifest. Already performing so much atonement, so many sacrifices. And the only way they can be uprooted is by practicing devotional service, because Krishna removes it all. That's the potency of practicing devotional service. And why it's so strong? Because that is why it takes out everything, because that is our root cause for being in the sexual world. It's all because of ahankar, false ego. And sometimes people will say they want to be God, or people say that they are God. And it's very amazing to be in such a situation where someone is claiming to be God. Like on Wednesday at Krishna Fest, there's a very nice program, a lot of nice people. And then there's some girl who just said, "We're all God." And then it was very interesting seeing the reaction of the devotees that were there. You know, one devotee's eyes just like went up and like, "What?" And then another devotee just went like, you know, it was really interesting because the devotee knows, we have the knowledge, how can we be God? You know, how can we sit every morning and have all the sandeshes and then have all the care and then have all the sweets and then at 8 o'clock we can have some more and then we'll have the rice bowl and then we'll have the food offering and then we'll have the 6:40 and then at 9 o'clock. That would be my thing for anyone who claims to be God, come to the temple and try and eat like Krishna for a whole year and then see what happens. They won't even laugh because you can't enjoy. Only joy is Krishna. And I was reading the other day in Garga Samhita, there's a passage where Lord Shiva, and I think it was Ashri Munda, I don't remember which state it was, and they went to Vrindavan, they were going to Golok, they wanted to see the Rasa Leela. And as they tried to enter the grove, they couldn't. There was like millions and millions of gopis guarding the area. And they told them, the only male, the only enjoyer is Krishna. So if you want to enter the Rasa Leela, you will take a bath in that kund and then you'll assume the form of a female and then you can enter. And strictly speaking, they will say, you know, the only enjoyer is Krishna. And we are enjoyed by Krishna, we're not enjoying it. But when we start practicing devotional service, we're serving the spiritual master. And because the spiritual master is a direct representative of Krishna, when he becomes pleased, Krishna is pleased. That's why when the expert spiritual master gives instruction to the expert disciple, they're both happy. Because when it's true, you know, the expert spiritual master gives instruction, and then the disciples try sincerely with devotion to carry out those instructions. And in that, when the spiritual master sees the sincerity of the devotee and the desire to want to fulfill that instruction, he bestows his mercy upon the disciple. So it's not like it's all up to our strength. We desire and we perform sincerely with devotion, and then Krishna reciprocates through the spiritual master. Not that we individually go out there and try to do it by ourselves, you know, I'm the best person ever, I can do it by myself. So this is my lesson in this text is that, you know, to get rid of my ignorance, this false ego that I think I'm in a female body, you know, I'm from Africa, and all these other things, it has to get destroyed because it's just not fun. It's not a happy thing to kind of be meditating on all the time. And it can be destroyed if I take to executing the orders of my spiritual master and executing the orders of Srila Prabhupada. That false identification will gradually go. And I will not be prone to committing so many sinful activities, whether on a subtle or gross level. Now let's finish off by reading this passage just to show the seriousness of this mode of ignorance and what it does. Although, because in the material world we're used to having results right there, you know, you write your exam, your results are there the next day on the computer, or you want to make something, you just pop it in the microwave, or you know, results are right there. But of course, we understand, you know, with karma, you know, you will reap the benefits, you know, in your next life, you know, right now, 6 months, it's not such a simple thing. So it's very funny because I'm reading the pastime, I'm reading 6th canto, and I just finished the pastime on the life of Ajahn. So Ajahn, we understand in this canto, he was very devoted Brahmana who was worshipping the Lord very nicely in his youth. And just by the mere inattention of looking at a Shudra and a Shudrani embracing, although he didn't go and take part in it or whatever, but that just stayed in his consciousness. It didn't manifest. Only years later, when he saw that prostitute again, he started desiring her more and more. And he took her as a wife, and they had children, and he continued working hard to please that prostitute. So you can see that, you know, it's very easy to get into this mode of ignorance, even if we were on a very elevated platform. But if we're not careful, we can easily be swayed by our material mind. You know, the prostitute, whatever, in different parts of the Bhagavatam is described how material intelligence, you know, is compared to a prostitute. Because it just wants this and that, it just wants to enjoy all the time, and then you suffer later. So Ajahn performs a lot of austerities, a lot of penances, you know, which are recommended in one of the processes in the Vedic scriptures. But it didn't remove all the sinful desire, it didn't remove the seed to want to perform sinful desires. That's why later on he pursued this relationship with this prostitute. So we have different processes, but they don't take out the desire to want to perform sinful activities. And only by practicing devotional service, all the seed, all the weeds get removed permanently. Because devotional service is an eternal service to Krishna. So only by that does it remove all our sin, all our avijja, and avijja is our material desire. So when you stop taking the material mind so seriously, and if you turn to guidance of Guru Sajjana Shastra, we can avoid being put into very precarious situations by our mind. Not identifying with the mind, not identifying with our intelligence, not identifying with our body or our family, but having the knowledge, knowing what the relationship is between the body and the soul and Krishna. And from that platform, then elevating ourselves and putting ourselves on the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness. I'll just read the verse again and then we can take some questions. So the spiritual master can be compared to the lower Hindu state, the disciple to the upper Hindu state. Every instruction given by the Guru to the first six days of retreat, the transcendental knowledge communicated from Guru to the disciple is compared to the fire arising from the contact of these, which burns the darkness of ignorance to ashes, bringing great happiness both to Guru and disciple. Any comments or questions or clarifications? Everyone is fired up to get rid of our avidya and our false ego. Yes? No.
Yes.
Yes? Yes, there's one devotee who wants to get rid of his ignorance. That's a good point. Okay, can one devotee tell me one thing that they remembered from the translation? Without Guru? What have you learned today in the festival? What have you learned today?
The teaching of spiritual master is we should be doing it. It is very realistic. It's impressive because in the process of visiting those instructions, we get purified.
Yes. Very good. And we should always want purification because without purification, we won't make any progress. And It's not that you can tell Krishna what kind of purification you want. You know, sometimes it comes in a way that is not so nice, and sometimes it comes in a very nice way. But whether it comes in a nice or a bad way, that's just working for Krishna. So we should learn to embrace the opportunities that we get for purification. Because of purification means we can make advances further in devotional service. Thank you for that point. Karapai, so would you like to share what you've learned in class? Okay, we'll stop here. Hare Krishna, all the Krishna Prabhupada.